Let us talk some more to Megan Prelinger. Her book, Inside the Machine, Art and Invention in the Electronic Age. And I think it's interesting that what we normally think of as artists and scientists, left brain, right brain, completely opposite sides of the spectrum, influenced each other. And what was that nexus? How did they influence each other?
Absolutely. Well, principally, the artists were doing work based on being brought into laboratories and being offered the opportunity to look at what scientists were doing in the lab.
So it was commercial interests like General Electric who wanted to advertise, who brought these artists in.
That's right.
And said, can you explain this in a way that people will get?
That people will understand. Can you find a way to visualize this?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, many of the scientists were allowing visual concepts like this idea of aligning the electron with the solar system. I mean, that's
right.
An artistic leap.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
And
it's, although it's a natural one, and humans kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is an ad from Stromberg Carlson.
And
they call it the Carrectron. Optically printed 10 times faster than electromechanical printing. This is 1957.
Mm-hmm. It was a precursor to Xerox technology.
Oh, wow. And this is business to business, right? This is not for consumers.
That's right.
Yeah.
But business to business in a very broad spectrum. They wanted anyone who might need an office product to know about it.
Yeah.
If not the general public, it's a pretty big subset of the general public.
Look at the size of this thing and the paper coming out there. And I don't know why, but there's a general overlooking the guy's shoulder. Looks like Eisenhauer. Must just make you feel more, it's comfortable because it's
military.
Well,
I think because the Army sponsored a lot of that research.
Aha, interesting.
Into microphotography of documents at a high speed.
Yeah, that's this cathode.
You know, you wonder why. But
yeah, what would they want? Well, but I think also it's telling of 1957, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That there's this, I mean, we have
a
general
who's
a president.
Mm-hmm.
We have, kind of a trust in military technology. And so this is trustworthy, you know?
Right.
It's military grade.
Right.
Yeah. So it's both. Came from the military.
That's right.
You can trust it. Might not now have the same connotations. So that's why it's culturally, this is so informative about the culture of the time. The new Marketron, the name, do you spend any time with the names?
Oh, lots. I love it.
Hysterical.
There's a whole, yeah. Oh, yeah, Marketron. a lot of them picked up on the idea of neoclassicism in, you know.
In naming?
Yeah, like a Marketron, you know, like the electron from the Greek.
Must be
electron
because it's Greek.
Right.
It's got a Greek root. And then the Mark comes from Marquardt Pomona, the
company.
Company.
Defunct in the early 70s after they lost a contract to build a nuclear rocket.
A nuclear rocket.
Yeah. Canceled.
Maybe that wasn't such a good, although they they have done something similar since then. You even just include logos, which are great. I mean.
That because of the way the word variant is worked into the waveform.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. So that's art and language and science combined together in that little logo. I thought it was special, so I put it in.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're really saying here is that the artists, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the artists are influenced by the science.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a loop, and then use their art to explain the science
to others.
That's
right. And then because people are learning about the science through the art, the whole understanding of science is inseparable from the art.